Here we are, coming to you live from our top secret broadcasting area here at, a broadcasting bunker here at Area 52. I'll get it right in a minute. This is Pastor Mike. I'm online and I am live with you. This is and will be the talk show that hell hates. The more you listen, the more you know why. Get your Bibles out. We're going to look at a couple of things this morning. Several articles that many of you sent in, I have already placed them on the Pastor Mike Online Facebook page. You just go to www.facebook.com/Pastor Mike Online. You'll find those articles there. Also, I gotta show you this. I just remembered this. Okay, there we go. We have a new Bethel Church app ready. It has already been downloaded. It is ready for you to do it. It's called Bethel Church. That's what it's called. Go to PastorMikeHoggard.com. And let's tell you what, let me pull that screen up here, and I'll move it over here, and that way you can see it. Let's see, okay, which button do I push? This is it. Push that button there. Here we go. Ready? This is the new Pastor Mike on this is Pastor Mike Hoggard, the website, and this is the new official Bethel Church app. It is available for iOS, which is iPhone and iPad. And the neat thing about it is there's one flavor of it at the App Store for Apple. And if you're using an iPhone, it scales to the size and dimensions of the iPhone. If you're using an iPad, it scales to the dimensions, the size of your iPad. So there's one app for both iPhone, iPad. There, and let's see here. Here's the Apple version, the Android version of it. Works on my phone. I have an Android phone. I have an iPad. I've got it on both. It works amazingly well. This is basically it's a personalized sermon audio app is what it is, but it takes you right to Bethel Church's homepage on sermon audio. You can watch what we're doing right now live on your iPhone, iPad, Android phone, or tablet. You can watch all the live broadcasts that we do. You can watch the Watchman broadcast on it. You can watch all of the sermons, listen to the sermons. You can download the sermons. You can do whatever you want to with the sermons, all with this one app. And appreciate Michael, my son-in-law. I put that in his hands, and he did a tremendous job. But anyway, download it. Now, I will tell you, there are other Bethel apps on both the App Store and Google Play. Ours is the only one that gets me on it, all right? And you'll kind of have to filter through some of them, but I promise you, you will. It's not the iBethel one. Don't get the Bethel Church Redding, California anti-Bethel app. If you put that app on your phone, it'll probably send your phone right to hell. Okay? Just saying. Okay? You'll have to go through a fire tunnel to get anything out of it. But anyway, we're excited about that. And so you take a gander at that. Go to the Apple Store, the App Store, go to Google Play. You'll be able to find it, download it. It's a free download, just like everything else we do here. It's a free download. And we hope that it works out for you. Now, I will tell you this. If you have any questions about that app, do not call us. We don't know. We don't know anything about it. All right? It is sermon audio. So you have, if you're having an issue with the app or whatever it is, get in touch with Sermon Audio. They're the ones who put the app out. All right, here we go. This is Evolution Tuesday. The date today, 10/13. It's an interesting date is what it is. Number, if you add the two together, it's 23. That's the number of chromosome pairs. It's the number for death. You got to do this. There is such a connection between the Old and the New Testament. It just staggers the imagination, staggers the mind. If you read the 23rd chapter of the Old Testament, which is Genesis 23, it's all about Sarah dying, and they're buying. Abraham is negotiating for the cave of Machpelah. And so that he can bury Sarah in there. And that's where Abraham, I think, was buried. Isaac was buried there. Jacob and so on. The cave of Machpelah. I think there was like, I remember doing a count of like 6 different people buried there. I may be wrong on that. But here's what's interesting. They negotiated the price. I think it was like 400 something. But if you go to then the 23rd chapter of the New Testament, that is, of course, Matthew chapter 23. You're going to find in Matthew chapter 23, a reference to the scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites, who on the outward they appear as whited sepulchres, but on the inside they are full of dead men's bones. There is a connection between those two chapters, and only God could have worked that out. Don't give me all this nonsense. Now, we know the chapter and verse divisions were not in the original manuscripts. Blah, 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 blah. Neither was like punctuation either, like periods and commas and question marks. They were not in any of the original manuscripts, but there they are. I believe God's superintendence over his word. Some people believe in Bible deism, that God authored the original manuscripts only and then went on vacation to the planet, whatever Mormon planet the Mormons believe that God came from, Kobol. God authored the Bible in the original manuscripts and then left for Kobol, and there he is right now. Both Joe Smith and Finis Dake believe that God lives on a planet just like the Earth. Stupidest thing I ever heard of in my life. But anyway, God's superintendence over his word, it's a wonderful, wonderful thing. Back to the number 10/13. Today is, if you've ever heard of Friday the 13th, it is based upon October 13th when, I can't remember what pope it was, issued an edict that all of the Knights Templar were to be rounded up, given a quick and speedy trial, and killed. And they had them on charges of heresy, which is really funny that the Catholic Church would accuse somebody else of heresy, because like they're like the masters of heresy itself. But anyway,
people who do that should be arrested.
Yeah, I agree. But anyway, that it was on that date, 10/13, and it happened to be a Friday. So Friday, October the 13th, they rounded all these Knights Templar up. Can't remember the guy's name. The guy that produced the X-Files series. The number 10/13 showed up, I don't know how many, can't remember how many episodes of the X-Files that number showed up in. It was in like a clock or the secret that the aliens had been on this planet and they had left some things behind and so on was locked in a room. And the door number was 10/13 and so on. And I just remember seeing it everywhere because back then I was doing the study of like the Knights Templar and what their secret was and what the secret of Freemasonry was and the bloodline of the Illuminati and so on. And that number just kept popping up. But anyway, you kind of get the gist of it. This is 10/13. Let's talk about a revolution that is going to happen. There is going to be a revolution. It's going to be huge in its scope. And it literally will change everything. It will change every, it will change all of the current paradigms, all the ways that people think right now. This new paradigm, this revolution, is going to change all of that. The way you drive your car, the way you talk to people, the way you think, all of these things are coming up. There is going to be a revolution. And there is this concept that with this revolution, there will be an evolution. Things are going to change. People are going to change. There is going to be a fundamental transformation of everything in this world. I cannot even begin to describe all of the layers of change. And I can't even begin to fathom just how different things are going to be. But they are going to be different. Now, if that's hard for you to swallow, let me help you chew it up a little bit first. Let me break it down in pieces for you. Let's look at what the Bible says. The Bible talks about with us a transformation, a change. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. This mortal shall put on immortality. This corruptible shall put on incorruption, and we shall be changed. We know that the Bible teaches, New Testament especially, the Bible teaches us that we're going to cast off this house of our tabernacle in exchange for a new house, a new tabernacle. We know that that's going to take place. I want it. I want that change. I want that transformation. I want God's version of that transformation. I have been, you saw it here live, when Pastor Mike online here last week, week before last, something like that, me having an issue with my blood sugar. I still am. And it's not without understanding by me. I know why it's happening. When I first went to my doctor after I'd been diagnosed with diabetes, I showed up 6 months later and I'd had this immaculate low blood sugar record. I kept an app, kept my blood sugar records on there every day. And I showed it to him. My chest all burst out like that. You know, I'm doing pretty good. Maybe I really don't have diabetes. And he said, you do. You're at the beginning stages of it. And diabetes is a progressive disease. It's not going to get better. It is going to progress, and that's exactly what it's doing with me. So I'm asking for your prayers. But I am very, very unhappy about what diabetes has done to my body and what it will continue to do. I want that new body. I want that change. I want this old house to be gone, and I will trade it in for a new one. Now I want you to consider that. I was talking to a gentleman this morning, and he said he had been studying in the Psalms, in Psalm 127, 128, and I was turning there while he was talking. I was looking at it, and Psalm 127, the first verse says, "Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain." And that concept of the Lord building the house, something that I have been aware of for years, being in the minute, when you're in the ministry, if God doesn't do it, you're doing it in vain. And I had to learn that. I'd learned it the hard way, but I had to learn it. Had to learn the idea that if God builds it, then it lasts. He blesses it. He uses it for His glory. If I build it, then it's all about me and my glory and what I can do and how everybody likes me. And I don't want that. I want God to get the glory and the credit for every, if you like any good thing out of this ministry, it is because that is what the Lord has given you through this vessel. That's what it is. God decided He wants to fill His people's hearts with knowledge and understanding and a belief in the Word of God. And He chooses me and other people to do it with. By the way, you have that same calling, same ministry. God will use you such as you are. God doesn't, He's not asking for perfection. God knew what kind of piece of trash dirt you were before He ever saved you. So anyway, but it's about the Lord building the house. And so here's what man has in mind. A transformation is coming. Evolution is coming. A change in humanity. And this time around, mankind is going to produce his own evolution. Now, I say this time around, I do not believe in evolution. I do not believe in the concept of man evolving from a lower life form to a higher life form, and that goes on throughout history. I'm going to explain some things in a little bit about evolution, about how we got where we are and where we're going. I do not believe that, and I'm going to show you from the Bible what I believe. What I'm telling you is there is a significant portion, a vast majority of the people on this planet believe, have been taught to believe, have been led to believe, have been lied into believing, deceived into believing, that we came from a lower life form. And I was thinking about this one day, and it dawned on me, if, as they say, the line, the deceit is that man used to be this jellyfish. We used to be this glob of protoplasm. Lightning struck, all these chemicals came together, and all of a sudden all of this mitochondria and all of the Golgi apparatus and the cell and the nucleus and the cell wall and the ability to convert raw things into sugar and burn that inside the cell for its life, and then for that cell to be able to duplicate itself, making an exact copy of its DNA in there. All of that, according to the evolutionary scientists, happened just like that. The stupidest thing I've ever heard in my life, that it, boom, it's just, if a cell doesn't have all of the functioning parts of it, like a cell wall, like a nucleus, like the DNA that's inside that nucleus, the book that determines what proteins and what things that cell is going to do. I mentioned the mitochondria. That's the part of the cell that burns sugar for energy inside. And there are there are things that take the waste out of that cell so it doesn't poison the cell and takes it out of that. If those, all of those processes are not present in a cell, that cell, it will die. It won't live. It will not be able to reproduce itself, recreate it. It won't do it. And they're trying to tell us that we all, boom, just all of these mechanisms inside the cell came about all at once. I'm sorry, I'm not buying it. It sounds ridiculous. You have to have, in any complex life form, it shows evidence and proof of what they call intelligent design. A almighty creator created that from nothing and made it into what it is now. If evolution has a function, a role, or a goal in this world, it is not simply as a replacement for a belief in God. I became aware of the fact that evolution has a goal in mind, and that is that if man has evolved, then man is still evolving, and he will evolve, and mankind will more than likely produce his own evolution. He will do it by himself or with himself. So think about this. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. We were told in the book of Acts, twice in the book of Acts, Acts chapter 7, howbeit the Most High dwelleth not in temples made with hands. Acts 17:24, God made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is the Lord of heaven and earth, he dwelleth not in temples made with hands. And I believe that when this transformation takes place, When it comes about, it will be by the hands of man, and God will not dwell in that house. Is that the mark of the beast? I think that is the basis for the mark of the beast. I think that the mark of the beast brings about a change and a transformation. When we're dealing with, let's see if I can do this right here. Click that and click that. Here we go. Oh, yeah. Oh, that looks good. This is what we're supposed to believe. We're supposed to believe that we came from monkeys. And my father-in-law has a sixth grade education. Dropped out of school, went to work. Has worked all of his life. He's getting up close to 80 years old, gets out and works every day. Tough old man. Did not have any education past sixth grade. But he's got a sharp mind, and he said, thing I couldn't figure out is, if we all came from monkeys, why is there still monkeys? And I went, that's pretty good. There's still monkeys. And none of them, none of the ape creatures that we have in existence on this planet right now, none of them show any sign of being a transitional creature from ape to human. None of them do. Why didn't the Cro-Magnon man continue to survive? Why did not the Neanderthal man continue on in this world? Why not? It's because they never were. They were never in existence. Most of the evidence that they say shows the evolutionary ascent of mankind, you know, these partial skulls, most of that stuff is the imagination of the person who wants everybody to believe that this portion of a skull once belonged to Neanderthal man, and here's what it was. Sounds like the Hebrew roots people trying to tell you the New Testament was originally written in Hebrew. This is what the Neanderthal man would have looked like. He would have looked like this, because we think that he would have looked like that. And so that's the concept. So here we have. We have man going from a lower form to a higher form. And here's what bugs me, is that you have all these people, you preachers, religious people in the world, who say they believe the Bible. They believe like one little piece of the Bible. They don't believe the Genesis chapters 1 and 2 account of God's creation of mankind. They don't believe it. But they say, oh yeah, we believe in God. We believe in Jesus. We believe in everything. Bunch of liars. They believe in evolution. And if you believe in evolution, if you believe that people have evolved or mankind has evolved, then you believe that mankind will evolve. And everybody is saying that evolution, that next change, is just around the corner. Here is what the Bible teaches. Instead of us, and you have to decide, am I going to believe men and women who don't believe the Bible, who don't believe God? Am I going to accept their data, their quote-unquote proof or evidence that the universe is 14 billion years old, that Earth is, I don't know, 500 million years old, that mankind showed up on the scene a million years ago? Am I going to believe that, or am I going to believe what the Word of God said? God said in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And we have a record in Genesis 1 of how God did that. He did this on day 1, did this on day 2, did this on day 3, and so on. By the way, there was no, here we go, I'm going to get an email. There was no gap between Genesis 1:1 and Genesis 1:2. And I've seen people preach that as if it was the gospel truth. And if you don't believe it, well, you're probably not saved because you don't believe that. And there isn't anything in the Bible, not one single verse, that tells you that you should believe in a gap between Genesis 1:1 and Genesis 1:2. It doesn't exist. Don't come under anybody else's condemnation, because the word con here. Don't come under their condemnation. But anyway, he tells you, evening and the morning were the first day, evening and the morning were the second day, evening and the morning were the third day. Tells you how long the days were, exactly 24 hours apiece. That's what the Bible's telling you. That's what I believe. That's what, if you say, well, I'm a born-again Christian, I believe Jesus died from the grave, and you don't believe Genesis chapter 1 and Genesis chapter 2 for exactly what it says, if you don't believe that, then I'm going to pray, number one, that God will help you throw all that trash out that you've got in your mind that everybody else has put in there before it's too late. because you say you believe part of the Bible, but you're offended at the rest of it. You're offended for anybody saying that God created the universe in six literal days about 6,000 years ago. You don't like that, and that kind of puts you in the category of the seed that fell upon stony ground. That seed wants to grow, wants to take root. It wants to bring forth fruit in your life. That's the word of God. But you won't let it because you've got a hard rock of a mentality in your mind about certain things, and you will not break up that fallow ground. And I say it's necessary if you want to bring forth the fruit of God's righteousness in your life. Genesis chapter 1, no uncertain terms here. We're not using veiled language. We're not using some secret metaphor system. It says, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. No, God is not half female. That's a... He is not half female. It does not say that God created male and female after his, her image. That's Baphomet. It's the other God. God blessed them and said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. God created man different, special. He's not from the beasts. He's not from the amoebas. He's not from the pool of goo, the primordial pool, they called it. He's not from that. He comes from the dust of the earth, bearing in himself the very soul and the spirit of the living God inside of him. When God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, man became a living soul. Man is different than all of the other creation. Man can be redeemed. Man has choice. God gave man choice. A tree of knowledge, tree of good and evil. God gave them that choice, and God still gives us that choice to this day. But this is what we are supposed to believe. Pat Robertson, I'm telling you, the guy's too old to be sitting in front of that camera. I can tell you that right. He comes up with the wackier stuff just about every day. Pat Robertson does not believe in the literal creation the way the King James, Genesis 1 and Genesis 2, lay it out. He doesn't believe that. And there is this sort of this new theology, this new creationism, more like theistic evolution, which are contradictory ideas. Talk about yin and yang being put together, light and darkness. Light is God created the universe in 6 days, 6,000 years ago. Darkness is man evolved, and the universe has evolved into this complex system of what it is, including all these spiral galaxies that, for some reason, they spread apart by even trillions of light years away from each other. They all look alike in that they have the same ratio, the same spiral. What kind of evolution does that? And so that's light and darkness, and you try to fuse them together. And God said, there is no communion between light and darkness. There isn't any. There's no concord between Christ and Belial. Belial is, you evolved and you're going to evolve. Christ is, I made everything. I did. I am the Creator God. And there is no concord between those two. There is no agreement between those two. None whatsoever. They're totally opposite. So man, the theologian man has taken the two opposites and synthesized a new doctrine called theistic evolution. Pat Robertson believes it. Probably others believe it. The Pope, Francis the Talking Pope, believes it. And they all have this idea that there was man before Adam. But Adam became the first covenant man, the first one that God made a covenant with. Well, that contradicts Romans chapter 5, because the Bible says, for as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. It shows you that there was zero death before Adam, which is contradictory to theistic evolution that says, oh, yeah, everything died up until Adam, and then God just made a new covenant with Adam. And people have bought into this thing. They've fallen for it, and they go to church every Sunday, and they put money in, and they serve, and they stand behind pulpits, and they sing praise and worship music, but they do not believe God's record of the creation. They don't believe it. Genesis 2:7, the Lord God formed man. God did it deliberately. He used his hands, and he formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. I said he used his hands. I don't know what God used. I don't know if God used a chisel and a, you know, little tools. I don't know. Funniest thing I saw a cartoon where God is taking clay and he's rolling it like that. He's making snakes, and God's going, boy, these things are easy. That's why there's so many of them. Anyway, God formed man. God breathed in his nostrils the breath of life. That's why you and I have what's called sentience. We are sentient beings. We are self-aware. We are aware of our own surroundings. We are aware of people around us. We can, I read a book like, I can't remember, it's like a science fiction book or something like that years ago, where the guy said, close your eyes and picture yourself like you were holding a camera looking at yourself from the other side of the room. Sounds simple, right? Okay? Animals can't do that. God gave us a self-awareness, our living soul. No other creation has that. That's what I believe. Ecclesiastes 12. This is Solomon at the end of his life, having done everything in the world that we're not supposed to do, but secretly we really want to. Okay? Guy with 1,000 girlfriends? Are you kidding me? Guy with all the money, all the gold, he's got music all the time. He's with it, man. And here's Solomon saying, remember now thy creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. Listen to me, people. There will come a time in your life when you will say, you know what? I'm ready to move on. I'm ready to go to heaven. Usually doesn't happen to people 18, 19, 20 years old, 21 years old. Usually doesn't happen to them, but usually by the time people get 70, 80 years old, 90 years old, even 100 years old, they're saying, I get up, I moan and whine all day because of my pain, and then I go to bed at night, and I have nothing left to live for. So he says, remember thy creator in the days of thy youth. Think of Satan's attack upon God's word. And there was a time in this nation, you have to go back before the Scopes monkey trial. A teacher wanted to teach evolution in a public school. I'm saying that right. A teacher wanted to teach evolution in a public school. The school district wouldn't allow him to do it or something like that, and it went to court. Before that, they taught creation in public schools. Children brought a Bible to public schools. Their school books, their textbooks had Bible verses in it, King James Bible verses in it. So the devil comes along and says, that'll never work. I need a generation of people who don't believe in God and who do not remember their creator, because I am going to be their recreator. So we have generation after generation after generation in this nation who cannot remember their creator because they've never been taught their creator. They don't know anything about it. This is the world that we live in right now. This generation is primed for accepting the next phase of evolution. Isaiah 43:1, but now thus saith the Lord God, the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. Even if we look in, open up Psalm 139, you know, I reference verse 16 quite a bit about the book that God wrote in our DNA. But I look at verse 14. Of Psalm 139, I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. God made us. Like my grandmother, my meemaw. Don't you laugh at that. My meemaw was favorite woman in the whole world to me. My meemaw did not get up at 5 o'clock every morning and throw a sack of flour on the floor and a baking pan and some baking powder and baking soda and milk and eggs. She didn't just throw that stuff in a bowl and go back to bed and say, when I get up 7:30, there better be some biscuits laying in that kitchen. She knew that if we was going to have biscuits in the morning, she had to be the one at 5 o'clock to get up and make them. And oh my goodness. I would deliberately allow my blood sugar level to go sky high to eat another one of Meemaw's biscuits or another piece of what she called Karo nut pie. It was pecan pie using Karo syrup. All right? Oh my goodness. Anyway, my Meemaw made those things from the things that God made in this earth. They didn't just happen. They just didn't involve. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works. We're talking about God, and that my soul knoweth right well. Your heart's right with God when you remember your Creator. You know who formed you. You know who made you. Therefore, you have no doubt that you will be remade, reformed in the days of the reformation. God is going to give you a new name and a new body and everything. Behold, I make all things new, God says. Evolution says that it's happened before. We've all changed before. The earth has changed before. Now it's going to change again. Revelation 4:11, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. Isn't that amazing that God created something? Why did God do it? He did it for His pleasure. God has fun. He is pleased with things. God looked at, you can read Genesis 1, God looked at everything and said, it is good. He wouldn't call Adam good until he gave him a wife. Now it's good. And it was created by God for a reason, for a purpose. But there isn't anything that was not created by Almighty God. Not anything, including evil. So, I don't believe that, Pastor. You're kind of getting... No, that's what Isaiah said. I create evil. You go look it up. It's there. God did. And what does he mean by that? Well, he created Lucifer, created Satan. We know that. He planted a tree in the midst of the Garden of Eden, the tree of knowledge of good and evil. When God gives a law and man breaks it, God is the author of boy, I don't want you to misunderstand me, but he said he created evil. Why? To give man a choice, to give that sentient being, the one he breathed his soul in, His breath in, and man became a living soul, to give that man a true choice. It's not a true choice if there's only one tree in the garden. If you go to, my wife likes to go to Subway, and here in town, the Subway, they're not very well supplied. And one time we went in, there was a big sign on the door of all the things in that Subway restaurant that it was missing or broke. Their oven that they toast the sandwich in was broke. Half of the items that my wife likes on her sandwich, they were out of and wasn't going to have them. And she's going, come on, let's go somewhere else. I'm not even going to eat here. Why? Because she has no choice. The thing she would choose isn't there. And it's not a choice if you just have one tree in the garden. So anyway, but God created all things, period. Made them out of what? Ex nihilo, out of nothing, the Bible says. If you believe in God as the creator, as I mentioned a while ago, you believe that God is a new creator. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Ephesians 2:10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. By the way, for those of you who like numbers, I think the word creator, capital C, I think it's four times in the King James Bible. That's pretty cool, isn't it? Okay? Four Gospels. That's where Jesus shows up, in the four Gospels. He's the creator. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. It's almost like these people believe, even if the theistic evolutionary people, it's almost like they believe that everything that happens now on the planet is like something that God's going, boy, when I made them, like, you know, when I made them 10 billion years ago, I never thought it'd turn out like this. That's kind of what they think about God. They think God's stupid, and he made this, but he doesn't really know what he's got. It's ridiculous. We have been ordained to walk in the good works that God created in us and works through us. We are his workmanship. Just like the potter who has a lump of clay on there. The potter is the one who has power over the clay, not the other way around. Creflo and Kenneth Copeland and Joyce and all you witchcraft practitioners who believe that you have the creative power and you can tell God what you want, God has to do it. God, the clay doesn't tell the potter how to make it. The potter decides that. But it's all done on purpose. Now, I'm going to show you something. This is going to be picture time. The Pastor Mike Online live broadcast. I spent some time this morning looking at the influence that evolution has had and is having right now upon the mind of humanity. I told you about I can do little bitty magic tricks. Okay, not really magic. It's not a cult. I can make a coin disappear out of my hand. Kids love it. Okay. But I studied magicians for a long time. I wanted to see how they did. That's my curiosity. I want to know how, if you did that, I want to know how you did it. Okay? David Blaine did this. There was a movie called Now You See Me. And it was about the four, horsemen of the apocalypse. Okay? It was four magicians getting together and one working secretly behind the scenes. And anyway, they both did this trick where they had a deck of cards. And this, they look in the camera and say, now I'm going to flip through this deck real fast, and you just pick a card, any card that you might see out of this deck, I want you to pick that card. He goes, flip like that, and I went, Two of Hearts. I'm watching this. I'm watching David Blaine do this on his program. I recorded it, and I watched it. I'm going, Two of Hearts. Okay, that's the first thing that came to my mind was the Two of Hearts. By the time he gets done with the trick, there's a Two of Hearts there. And I went, okay, how in the world did he do that? And what I found out was that I was forced to take that card. I was forced. And in magic and in prestidigitation and things like that, in mental magic especially, there's a trick called the force. You force people. You say, pick a card, any card. But there's a technique that you can use to get people to take the specific card that you want them to take. There's a way to get them to do that without them knowing it. It's called perception without awareness. When I backed up the video and I watched it again, I noticed that as he's flipping the deck, the only card that you can actually see, that your eyes can actually fix on, is a Two of Hearts. All the rest of them are a blur because of the speed that he's flipping them in. Then I realized that he put two of Hearts back to back in that, just like a cartoon. It's 30 frames a second, or a movie, 24 frames a second. He put two frames worth of Two of Hearts in that deck, and that's the only one that you saw. And that's what everybody else picked, too. Everybody else. It just works that way. So here's what I'm going to show you. Perception without awareness. You are being forced. Remember what the false prophet does. He causes them to do it. The workings of the false prophet, and the cause is taking place right now. People are going to pick evolution. That's what they're going to do. They're going to be given a choice, and they're going to pick evolution. I'm going to show you how it's done. Here is this is what's interesting to me. What I'm going to show you is all these evolve and evolution logos, marketing tools, brand names. It's just like the thing I did with the sixes, the hexagons. They're they are everywhere. And I've got some new ones. I've got some unbelievable examples of how this number six is being forced into the mindset of everybody. You see it, but you don't perceive it consciously. But your subconscious does perceive it. It's just like picking that two of hearts. I didn't know that I was being forced to pick that one, but my brain picked it up. So you look at things like this. Verifone. Verifone is a point of sale company. They're the ones who provide the little machines at the checkout counter that you can slide your card on, enter your PIN, and purchase a product without you having to get money out of your wallet or out of your purse. Back in the old days, I used to work in retail when I was in college. I used to work at Payless Shoe Source, and every time we got a credit card, we had a little book that came to us every month of credit card numbers that were no longer valid. That it was a stolen card or a lost card or whatever, and if that card showed up in our store, we were to keep the card. And if I got the card, if I kept the card, I got like a $25 reward out of that from the credit card company. We used to have to look up the numbers in this book every time we got a credit card. That was the 80s, 1985, 1986. Now it's all done electronically. The little magnetic strip on your credit card, you swipe it and your information is there, and it goes, you know, through the internet to the bank. Bank says this card's good. We're going to, you know, deposit this money in your account and so on. And that's how it's done. I don't think they're going to do away with the magnetic strip, but now all of the credit card companies are going to the chip that's in the card. A radio frequency identification device is right now on these credit cards, and that is going to be the new standard. Because I don't believe that humans evolved. I do believe that technology is evolving and evolving every single day, and it's getting quicker and quicker and quicker. And so Verifone has this is 3-4 years old. The VX Evolution system is 3 to 4 years old. That's dinosaur stuff in the technology world. Okay. But I want you to look at their logo. Okay. Look at this. Look at how they designed the X. Let me show you what that looks like. Okay, here, get ready. Are you ready? It's the same thing. Okay? That also is a force. You are forced to accept this concept by way of that symbol. All right? Here's their phone, or their point of sale. I almost called them phones. They look like phones. Their point of sale systems. It began with great genes and evolved into genius. You see that? They're telling you right there that the evolution that they're promoting involves the genetic structure of mankind. Cars called, BMW evolve. EV compatibility evolve. The power chip car. Okay, there's a new movie coming out about Steve Jobs. Steve Jobs was, and the reason why I think of this, Apple's making a car. It's going to be like the iCar or something like that. But Apple is making a car. You can bet that that car is going to be a lot of technology and electronics. You're basically going to be driving an iPad with four wheels. All right, that's what that car is. Steve Jobs... There's a movie coming out about him. Saw the preview today. Steve Jobs was the genius behind Apple. Steve Jobs said, I want a computer in everybody's hands. He said this 40 years ago. At one point, his own company kicked him out, but then they called him back and they said, we need you, man. Steve Jobs, he was a genius. He came up with, the iPhone, a revolution in phones, in cellular phones. The iPad, a revolution. Now everybody's making tablets. He made the iPad. They're like following Apple, all right? But the thing is, Steve Jobs was a New Ager. He was a meditator. He would go into a trance. He would empty his mind. He would whatever, talk to spirits or whatever. There is no doubt in my mind that Jobs was being under, was led by the influence of the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that worketh in the children of disobedience. So this is one of the reasons why you see this ideology, this concept being thrown at you. It's because these spirits are bringing this about, and they're not just going to come out and tell you, like the Bible. The Bible says you need to be saved. Unless a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Then it explains the born-again process, explains salvation, explains the substitutionary atonement of Christ on the cross. The New Age is all done, and the devil's ministry, as it were, is not so plain and open. They're not telling you, we want everybody, by the year 2045, we want everybody to receive a mark in their right hand or in their forehead, and they have to worship this image of the beast. And oh, by the way, you will spend forever in the lake of fire. They're not going to tell everybody that. They do it subtly. They do it secretly. They do it, remember, Jesus said, I'm the doorway of the shepherd. Of the sheepfold. I'm the shepherd, and I'm the doorway of that shepherd. I come in straight at you. You know who I am. He said the thief doesn't come in by the door. He comes in some other way. Think of what you're looking at right now. You're looking at me, looking at the graphics on the screen. Now, fix your eyes there and then use your focus on your peripheral vision to see what's going on around you. Your peripheral vision is actually picking up more information than the focus of your eyes is. And it does that every waking minute. And it's going into our brain, but we don't perceive it. That is the thief coming in some other way. It's always going to be subtle. But if you know what to look for, you'll recognize it when you see it. Phones. The evolution phone, the Evo phone. Evo, evolved tennis shoes with a beast on it. Okay? what does fishing hooks, fly hooks have to do with evolution? It doesn't. Does this mean now if you buy this fly hook and you actually catch a trout with it, that you're going to be have the mark of the beast? No. But they're not really trying to just sell you a fly hook to catch trout with. They're selling you on an idea, a choice, a decision that people are going to make. They will make the evolve decision. Gatorade had a commercial a couple years ago. There's no evolution without a revolution. And that is absolutely, listen, there is going to be an evolution revolution. A change in everything. The movie, Dawn of the Planet of the Apes, starts out with this company called Genesis. Gen for genetics, system for, well, the sys for systems, genetic systems. And I'm watching this movie, and it's got John Lithgow in it. It's a great actor. I don't know what kind of person he is. I don't know if he's lost or saved, but he's a good actor. But he is dying of Alzheimer's. He can't remember anything. And so the main character here wants to use this product they've been trying on monkeys. They want to use this on humans eventually. And so he puts his dad through it. His dad can remember things now and so on. But I'm watching this movie, and I'm thinking about it, and I'm going, you know what? I think, as far as the symbolism of this movie, I think we're the monkeys. We're the apes. We're the chimpanzees. We're the orangutans. That's who we are. That's who we are in this movie. We are the lower life form, and these higher beings, are you catching this? Let's just take everything. We have the humans, and we have the monkeys in this movie. Let's boot them up both one level. Now we're the monkeys, and the higher beings are going to help us with this transition to evolution. They're going to elevate us to their level, because that's what happened in the movie Planet of the Apes. That's what happened. Brought the apes up to our level. You just bring it up one level. Now we are going to be made gods. Video game Deus Ex, which is Deus Ex Machina, means the god comes out of the machine. It's about evolution. By the way, I've been rewatching the Matrix series, and at the very, very end, Neo is brought back to the main computer artificial intelligence that they're working on a deal. They're going to fuse together. Neo and the main computer is going to fuse themselves together. I never did know what this main computer was called. I read the credits after the movie, and that primary computer system is called Deus Ex Machina, the god who is in the machine, or the god that comes out of the machine, about human evolution. Now, these I'm just going to take you through these. These are just, I've got, I don't know, 30 slides that deal with products that are named after evolution. VMware, virtualization in computers. The Evo system. Evo brings you new concept. Evo product. Look at their symbol here. See that? That's related to the triquetra. That is our DNA mixed with their DNA. Remember, they are the ones who are going to bring us to that new order. Okay? This is the one creature I do not believe needs to evolve. Because most house cats think they're god of the universe anyway. Evo, the ancestral diet, meets modern nutrition. See the concept there? The ancient meets the modern. And that's how they're going to evolve. So what does that mean, Pastor? Well, think of this. Here's humans in the modern world, and there's something in the ancient past that they're going to bring out and get us to fuse the ancient with the future. That's in the ancient past is the one who was and is not and yet is. I'm talking about the beast, Revelation 13, Revelation 17. Look at this one. Ziploc. What is sealing a sandwich bag have anything to do with human evolution? It doesn't. But they're selling you the idea. Especially, look at this logo here. Look at that. Wow. You see it? Here is the O of this, and it was specifically designed this way. You might say, well, you might see a six there. I think I see a six here. But look at the way this O was designed, like a dragon's head. Here is the mouth of the serpent, the fiery flying serpent, the dragon, with his tail. The Ouroboros symbol is a serpent or a dragon consuming its own tail. And that in the occult and newage and masonry and everything else is a sign of resurrection or a sign of evolution. The mouth being open represents the female. The tail represents the male. So you could say the sons of God, the daughters of men, cohabitating, just like in Genesis 6. See that? I think that's a number there. Just like in Genesis 6, that's how it's going to happen. And I saw this and I'm just going, look at that. Look at that. Who can figure this out? Who can just, what average Joe can walk down the aisle, Joe or Joan, the average Joan walking down the aisle in the grocery store or the market, and you pull out this box of Ziploc Evolve bags, and you go, I think I see the Ouroboros here. I think this has something to do with us becoming gods. No one, no normal person would think that. You have to be abnormal like us, the people who believe in giants and dragons and unicorns. Amen. But now that you, when you know the Bible, you actually have the key to unlocking all these symbols. You look at them and you go, oh, look at that. Honey, look at this. This is what Pastor was saying the other day. Bingo. It's just like that. Look at this. Here's another version of it. Look at this one. Evolve. Same idea. A double serpent eating its tail, chasing its tail. Okay? Again, what does that have to do? These are, I think, water purifiers. What does that have to do with it? Nothing. So you're not only being sold a water purifier, you're being sold a philosophy. You're being given the leading of a choice. Think of it like this. Jesus told his disciples, he said, what I speak to you in your ear, that you proclaim from the housetops. So we know that Jesus, what he taught his disciples was no secret doctrine. It was a revelation of the mysteries, of the secrets. And it was to be told to everybody and make it plain upon tables. Paul said in, Second Corinthians chapter 3. He was talking about we use great plainness of speech and not as Moses. Moses was a stutterer. He was hard of speech. Paul said we use plainness of speech. We're going to tell you exactly what we mean. And if you see a symbolic ideology in the New Testament, you're also going to be given what that symbol means. Consider Christ sitting down with his disciples saying, remember that whole seed thing and the stony ground? Well, let me tell you what that's all about, because they asked him and he told them. So the gospel that we preach, the transformation that we believe is coming to us as Bible believers, is plain and told and spoken plainly. And people don't believe it. The serpent doesn't speak that way. He represents a nation that comes from afar, a nation that comes from the north country, a nation of fierce countenance, a nation whose tongue thou shalt not understand. And so the concepts that you're seeing in symbols are a language, but they're a not understood language. Most people don't know the meaning of a dragon, or a dragon consuming its tail, or the ancestral, the ancient thing being brought to the future thing, and so on. Most people don't get that, don't understand what that all these symbols and logos represent. But you speak symbol. God gives us understanding that the rest of the world will never comprehend, because God's going to turn them over to strong delusion to believe a lie. And they're told, just like Masons, they're told that the symbol means one thing, but the truth of it is, it means something entirely different. They lied to you. Okay, here's another one. Evolve Hospital. I think this is in India. Look at the logo. Look at the symbol here. Okay, it's the same one as the serpent eating his tail. Here's another one. Evolve Corporate Wellness. Okay? Same concept. The head and the tail. Fusing together. You could say, with this one, as above, so below. It's the same idea, because that concept is sons of God, daughters of men coming together, the fourth kingdom, iron, mingling itself with the seed of men, which is clay. Oh, look at this one. Here we go with our sixes. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15 different hexagons on this. It's a can of paint! Evolve ceiling paint. You're going to, and look at the green behind that. Remember the groves? Remember that teaching on the groves? Part 3 is out. If you haven't seen it, you go to the Bohemian Groves, you're going to see some things there. But it's all about evolution. Even the center of this O here, I don't know if you noticed that. I just see that now. Is a stem and a leaf from a vine. Think of Deuteronomy 32, the vine of Sodom. Wow. Here's some more. Here we go. Evolve your entire operation. Let's see here. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. 12, did I count those right? 3, 6, 7, 8. Yeah, 12 hexagons here. All about evolution. And the hexagon basically is the number 6. You see it here. You see it here. Evolution and the mark of the beast, I think they are one in the same. A change, a transformation is going to take place. A house is going to be rebuilt with man's hands. Once that takes place, that house becomes desolate. God will not dwell in that house. And think of it like this. Everybody on the planet right now has the potential to have God dwell inside of them. Everybody does. Why? Because currently, everybody is a house made by God. But there is coming something that's going to alter that temple. It's going to rebuild it, reconstruct it. And when it does, it will be done by the hands of man. And God says, there's no way I'm going to dwell in that. I do not dwell in temples made with hands. By the way, the Roman Catholic Church system is all about temples made with hands. Because most Catholic Church represent the womb of the mother goddess, Gaia. Isis, Ashtaroth, Ishtar, Diana, Venus, Virgin Mary. All the same concept. Most Catholic churches are designed to represent a womb. That's why the doors, a lot of times on these old Catholic churches, are mandorlas. They're almond-shaped. It's a woman's part. You go in and you're born again and then you come out. Okay, that's the concept there. And Roman Catholicism says you cannot have anything, any blessing from the church, but what it's done inside the mother church, inside the mother, the womb of a Catholic church. Catholic weddings are held in the church. Catholic funerals, they may start out at a funeral home. They go to the Catholic church. And that corpse has to be laid at the cross point and the center point, the interior of the womb. That's where all the rituals can be performed. Everything is all about a temple made with hands. That's what Catholicism is all about. Here's another one. Evolve nutrition. Same symbol, the same logo, the hexagon, the number 6. Unreal. Here we go. Evolve Cloud Services Company. Working with Office 365, which is Microsoft. They're cloud, okay? I have an account with Microsoft. I use their products. I use PowerPoint especially. It's what I'm using now, okay? And I use the cloud system. When I work on things at home, all I have to do is save them. They're automatically synced, so I get here at the church, and there's my sermon. There's all ready to go, okay? But we know it, that the technology is going to lead us to an evolution revolution. The butterfly symbol. We talked about that last week, last Thursday. The symbol of the butterfly, four wings. It's a symbol for transformation. Evolve organic beauty. See the vine here? How many sixes do you think? Look at this part of it right here. Three sixes. Okay? What vine is this? It's the vine of Sodom. It has to be. It's all about evolution. And let me just say this. I do not believe that if you wash your face with this stuff that you're marking your forehead with the... No, I don't believe that. Nor do I believe that if you use these products that it's going to alter your DNA and you can be a god. I don't believe that either. The substance and the liquid that's inside these bottles do not contain any magical properties. They themselves are not going to bring us to a new world order. but planting the concept in the consciousness of mankind all over the world, that is going to lead mankind to make that choice, just like that Two of Hearts, just like picking that card. Here's one that I thought was interesting. The Evolve symbol here, their logo is the lotus. Lotus is a huge, major, major symbol, major concept in Eastern mysticism. The common body formation of someone who is going to perform yoga or any kind of Eastern meditation practice, they will get in the what's called the lotus position. The lotus position, the lotus flower, is revered in Eastern mysticism because the god, I think, who is it? Brahma? I think that's who it is. Brahma, the god, is hidden and buried down inside the heart of the lotus flower. And when the lotus flower blossoms and blooms out, then what's hidden inside of that will be revealed to everybody. And Brahma, who is in a pit, he's going,
"Hey, can anybody let me out? Yeah, I need you to meditate. I got to get out of here. It's hot in here. Let me out."
The flower opens. Brahma, the god who is hidden, can now come out to the light. Bingo. Beast coming out of the sea, Revelation 13. He's hidden right now. He's occulted. The lotus flower blooms. Let's see. Bleach. Evolve bleach crystal packs. Again with the butterfly thing. Evolve hair weave stuff. Silky wrap scarf, brushes, styling brush. Evolve, 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 evolve. There's another Evolve naturally flavored protein shake. Here we go. These capsules that you can get at the Nutri-Shop. Ketolene and dioxetone and dioxaline and all of these things. Prepare to evolve. This, of course, is made by, let's see here, Earth. I'm looking for fire here. Maybe that would be fire. Earth, wind, fire, and water, the elements. Paul warned us about the rudimentary elements that we turn back to once we've been given the truth of the gospel. Why go back to the elements, the rudiments of this world? The weak and beggarly elements, he calls them. The elements of earth, air, fire, and water. 1, 2, 3, 4. The fourth kingdom. Four levels or four layers of devils that we war against. Four base pairs. Another gospel mentioned four times in the King James. The elementalism is all about, see, the elements. They all have this same idea as the lotus. The four elements, when they come together, they're opposites. Earth and air are opposites. Fire and water are opposites. And when they all join together, like the base pairs, then a fifth element rises out of those four. Okay, it's what the pentagram means. But that's evolution. Something is going to come out. Something is going to be, it's like what Jesus said, the 13 things that come out of a man, that's what defiles him. Here's our temple. And neither eating bacon nor drinking soda with NutraSweet in it, which I don't drink. I don't drink NutraSweet. Okay. I like Splenda. But anyway, drinking things with Splenda in it and eating bacon, those don't defile you. What comes out of you defiles the temple, the house of God. 13 things that Jesus mentioned. Think of Revelation 13. Think of Deuteronomy 13, Acts 13, Ezekiel chapter 13, Genesis chapter 13, verse 13 with 13 words in it. Think that. Prepare to evolve. And again, they're not giving you a they're not telling you that if you eat these things that you are going to evolve and become a god. They're selling the concept of evolution. Here's another one. Here's the four elements right here. Earth, and by the way, look at this again. Look at this in light of, let's see, let's go back to it here. That. Okay? Look at that. The dragon's head. Go forward to here. Dragon's head. Once again, four of them. Earth, wind, fire, and water. Evolution. Water and lighting solutions. Evolution. See the four of them here. Earth, air, fire, and water. The circles here look like Ouroboros. Serpent eating its tail. It's a sign of resurrection. It's a sign of immortality, they say. Start your body evolution. The new evolution hair products review. See this down here. It's all done on the atomic level. Cool Pope says evolution is real. God is not a magician with a magic wand. Well, at least he got that part right. Because God is not a magician, but he is the creator. And no, il papa, there is no such thing as evolution. He is the ultimate heretic of all heretics who is now telling the world about a heresy called evolution. And now everybody's going, yeah, I like him, man. I'm not even Catholic, and I like him, man. He's cool because he believes in evolution like I do. Remember, they have an agenda. The New Age people have an agenda. The New World Order people have an agenda. Four groups of devils have an agenda, and it's all the same agenda. Mingle with the seed of men so that men become gods. It's in the Protestant churches too, the non-Catholic churches. Evolve church. Evolve kids ministry. Remember? The idea that churches now, pastors, theologians, guys that go to Bible college, no longer believe in a literal 6 days, 6,000 years ago. Probably because they learned some Hebrew words and some guy told them that this Hebrew word actually has the essence of a long period of time instead of a day. I don't know. I haven't seen that. I'm just guessing here because that's normally how it's done. It's normally done at the hand of the theologians and the scholars and the Bible correctors to look at Hebrew and don't believe exactly what it says. Believe what you want it to make it say so that you and the evolutionists of this world can join hands. And then thus you can all end up in the same place for all of eternity. Evolve Church, Evolve Kids Ministries. I wonder how many church children in America actually believe in a literal creation 6 days, 6,000 years ago. I wonder how many of them actually believe it. Especially when they're being fed this nearly every day in the public school system. And the fact that the pastor will not stand up against the public education system in this country for fear of offending someone. And I know a guy that for years, preacher after preacher, person after person, his wife went to church. He never did. He was a public school science teacher. And everybody, I knew the guy personally. And I knew the people that went to try to witness to him. And he wouldn't go for it. He would not believe in God's salvation. I personally sat across from him at his table and tried to witness to him. And he wouldn't budge. He retired several years later. They moved out of this area. And several years later, I hear that he's a pastor, was able to lead him to salvation. He starts going to this church. Everybody, this is the most wonderful thing I've ever seen in my whole life. And he's in church for a year. He's doing this. He's doing that. And then all of a sudden, The preacher preached Genesis chapter 1 and said the earth was created in 6 days, literal 6 days, 6,000 years ago. When he's shaking hands with people after the church service, this former public high school science teacher, I mean, read him the riot act, went off major on him, called him foolish for believing this nonsense that the earth was created in 6 days, 6,000 years ago. See, I'm going to tell you something. The man had a stony ground heart over the issue of creation and evolution. And this pastor dared to preach a message about evolution and about creation. He dared to say that evolution was a lie. And he got in trouble by this guy, this old retired teacher, chewed him out. And so him and his wife, you know what they did? He didn't drop out of church. He went and found a church where they weren't going to preach that. He died a few years ago. I'm not his judge. But when the public school system is teaching kids every day that they come from monkeys, that they have evolved, and then their church is A, not standing against it, and B, feeding into it, you got an entire generation of church people that are going to evolve soon. Evolve small church, evolve church small groups. Okay? Let's all get together. Let's all join hands and all worship the same God. Evolve. First Pentecostals of Benton evolved. Even churches evolved. Look at their picture here they used. They used the exact idea of from monkeys to man. Even churches evolve. Sunday gatherings in September are all about change, transformation, new paradigm. We're not going to teach the old. We're going to teach the new, the future of where we're going. They are changing. Churches are evolving. You know why? Do you know why? How is it that the scientist thinks that he can get mankind to evolve? Changing his DNA. How are the churches changing? The churches are changing because somebody changed their DNA a long time ago. 1973, the New International Version. 1980, the New King James Version. And then a whole slew of new translations of the Bible. New DNA of the church now. Creeping in everywhere. Now you are, it is nearly impossible. Not totally impossible. But in some cases, nearly impossible to easily find a church that preaches only the King James Bible. They're few and far between. Why? Because the agenda by the principalities and the powers and the rulers of darkness and the spiritual wickedness, the principles and the goal of the spirits that now work in the children of disobedience, hated the DNA of God in the King James Bible. They wanted a transformation. They wanted the church to evolve. And so now they are. Now the churches have been so illuminated that they're now changing all of their opinions on sodomy, sodomite marriages, fornication between men and women in the church, whereby they will live together without the bonds of recognized marriage. They have already transformed into a church that now accepts open rebellion to God's Ten Commandments. And they think now that they're better than everybody else, because guess what, people? They're doing a reboot of the TV show Heroes, which doesn't surprise me. Because Heroes, and now they're calling them Evos, E-V-O. They're calling the characters now in Heroes Reborn. Hear that word, Reborn? That is a That is a variation of the concept of being born again. There is going to be, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23 tells us that there is going to be a born again event on this earth, but it's going to be of corruptible DNA, corruptible seed. Instead of us, we are born again of incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. By the way, he called me today. I was talking to him, and he was talking about the things he's finding in the Bible using the Pure Bible Search software. Donna, keep up the good work, sis. He says, Pastor, you know the phrase Word of God's mentioned 49 times. King, I said, yeah. He said, put the word the in front of it. He said, the Word of God 46 times. And I went, whoa! That's pretty cool. Change the DNA, change the Bible. You're going to change the church and what it looks like. Open acceptance of homosexuality. That is the vine of Sodom. And see, remember what Jesus said in John 15. I'm the vine, you're the branches. The branches receive from the vine, not the vine from the branches. The branches get their DNA from the vine. The DNA of the vine is expressed in stems and leaves and then fruit. Jesus said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask God what you will and he'll give it to you. You shall bring forth much fruit. His words, and he was using basically the same idea of a branch on a vine receiving of the DNA of the vine. So how is it churches are changing right now? They're not changing because they're on the true vine, Jesus Christ. They're changing because they're on the vine of Sodom. And they've been, watch this now. We have been, a wild branch have been grafted into the root, which is Jesus Christ. The main trunk is Christ. We have been grafted into that. Churches all over this world have come off of the true vine, the true root of the olive tree, and have now been grafted into the vine of Sodom. You see that? Now there's going to be a change in that church. Now they're going to receive, they're receiving words. They're receiving DNA, codes given to them that will make them not look like the image of God's own son, but the image of a beast. Churches are changing. Evolve. Develop gradually, especially from a simple to a more complex form. It's a study group. I've noticed something about most of these evolve things, that they highlight the letter V. Okay? There's a reason for that. When you look at the two symbols of the square and the compass, it's this symbol here, the square, pointed downward, which represents the female. Okay? Not even going to go there. The advent of evolutionary Christianity. Oh, look here, Brian McLaren, the leader of the apostate, emergent, heretical, quote-unquote church, evolving church. He's the guy that said, hey, we need to get off that vine of the Word of God and be grafted into a different vine so we can change everything. I'm looking at their fish logo here, too. See that? This is a fossil of a fish that died 1.2 million years ago, they say. This is the new sign. So let's fuse the ancient one with the new one. the beast that was and is not and yet is. Verge, which means to converge. A joining together of two worlds, heaven on earth, sons of God, daughters of men, evolve student ministries. See the sixes there? Revolution Church, light and shadows. Those are opposites. Evolve Church, take a sneak peek. Notice, look at here. Look at the E's. One pointing east and one pointing west. They're opposites. That's what the evolution is going to be. Evolve Church. Oh, look at, you're going to like this one. I want you to focus now on this symbol. Those of you listening to 91.3 KBTR, Samburu, Kenya, listening to us on Watchman FM, I want you to look directly at your FM dial. You won't see anything, but just kind of play along, all right? I want you to notice this. Evolve Church, and notice that the EVOL is highlighted. They want you to see that that is love backwards. Checking that out? It's love, but it's not the same love that you and I know. It's like anti-love. Backwards love. Okay? Evolve. Here we have a cross. Here is the center point. In a Catholic church, this would be the walking, this is where you walk in. And a Catholic church almost always has what's called a transept, which is when you walk in, there's a spot right here before you get to the stage. On the stage is where the priest is in the process of murdering Jesus Christ all over again for like the 50,000th time that week worldwide. And this is where the priest and you come together right here at the transept, the center point. Okay? This is where the dead body is. This is where the marriage takes place. All right? I want you to look at the white spaces here. By the way, see these images here? They're opposites. The V-shaped symbols here pointing toward one another. And then I want you to follow this white now. I'm going to go up. We get to the top here, and I'm going to make a right-hand turn. Same here. I'm going to go across here, and I'm going to make a right-hand turn. What do you see here? What is this? It's that. Adolf Hitler did not invent the swastika. He simply borrowed it from every occult religion that has ever been on the earth since the beginning of time, has used a variation of the swastika. It is a symbol in itself for immortality, everlasting life, being reborn. Why? Because it features the X chromosome with things added to it. But that's what it meant. And Hitler was involved in the occult, deeply rooted in it. Hitler was also involved in bringing about a master race of humans on the earth, the Aryan race, evolved. That's what Hitler was all about. That's what that symbol represents. Chase uses it. Chase Bank. Think of banking. Think of the point of sale things that we saw at the beginning, where it was Revelation 13:18, that no man might buy or sell. No, that was 16 or 17. That no man might buy or sell, save he had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Okay, that's why banks and point of sale systems and so on are. There was even one. I was taking pictures every time my wife said, quit taking a picture of those. They're going to think you're trying to do something squirrely or something like that. But I was taking snapshots of all these point of sale little boxes there when you buy stuff and you swipe your card, because all the makers of these things had some sort of connection to a New Age concept. Even there was one of them called Symbol, S-Y-M-B-O-L. And it was this little point of sale box that you swiped your card and entered in your PIN. Okay? And it was named Symbol. I went and looked the word symbol up. You know what it means? A mark. Dun, dun, dun. Wait a minute. That's my music. Bum, bum, bum. That's what the word symbol means, a mark. So this is a fulfillment of scriptures right in front of us. And the Chase logo is a variation of the swastika. Let's start a love revolution. Remember, this is love backwards. An evolution. Joyce Myers. Look at that. That's another one. Bum, bum, bum. She has a love revolution. It's all about evolution. Backwards love. Backwards love, I guess, would be self-centeredness. And if there was ever a word faith teacher who was all about self-centeredness, it's Joyce Myers. Somebody sent me this clip years ago. You probably find it on YouTube. I don't have it with me. But she was going to do a series on how to love your neighbor. Sounds good. But did it? She had this revelation from God now that in order to love your neighbor, she said, Jesus said, that you're commanded to love your neighbor as yourself. And she said, the reason why we have so much hatred in this country from one person to another, the reason why people don't love their neighbor is because they don't love themselves. So she is going to teach you how to love yourself. Let me tell you something. Our biggest problem in this country and all over the world, in the churches, our biggest problem is that people love themselves way too much. And that in itself prohibits them from loving other people. Because if it comes down to that person being blessed or gratified or you being gratified, it will be you every time. And she's teaching backwards love. Is what she's doing. She's teaching you must love yourself. Think about in the book of Revelation. And they loved not their lives even unto the death. You're not going to find that kind of teaching when you listen to Joyce, when you listen to Joel, when you listen to Kenneth. You're not going to find that kind of teaching. That Christianity is all about sacrifice and losing and giving away and doing things for other people that you can't even, you will not do for yourself. But that's her backwards love teaching. Is that in order to fulfill God's commandment, you must learn how to love yourself. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Paul said, O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust and avoid profane and vain babblings, avoiding profane and vain babblings and oppositions of, look at here, science, falsely so-called. The word science means knowledge. It is a fake knowledge. It is a false science. It is a science that is not true. Books do not write themselves. You cannot throw a typewriter 1 billion sheets of paper and enough ink to last. You cannot throw those out into an empty field and expect that in 1 million years, a book will be written and sitting in that spot. It doesn't happen that way. Books do not write themselves. You say, well, Pastor, that's like a dumb illustration because everybody knows you throw the paper out there and the typewriter, they're going to rust and they're going to decay. That's my point exactly. Nature by itself does not create. It disintegrates. That's what nature does by itself. Grass withers. Flowers fade. You throw a billion sheets of paper out into a field. It's silly to think that it's going to form a book in 1 million years because the paper will have all disintegrated. Bingo! It takes the work of a higher form to preserve the paper, to press the keys on the typewriter, to apply the ink. It takes intelligence. It takes purpose. It takes an outside influence in order to take a billion sheets of paper and a typewriter and enough ink to write out a book. Namely, if it's a billion sheets of paper, it's the U.S. tax code. It's false science. It's not real. But everybody's being told it's real. Not because they want you to believe all the things that happened in the past. It's all about going into the future. Before I run out of time, I've got a video clip to show you of Ray Kurzweil. And Ray Kurzweil is talking, you know, he is Mr. Evolution. And I want you to hear him give this talk about how man is evolving and the spiritual aspect of that. Take a listen.
Evolution creates structures and patterns that over time are more complicated, more knowledgeable, more intelligent, more creative, more capable of expressing higher sentiments like being loving. So it's moving in the direction that God has been described as having these qualities without limit. And so I think evolution is a spiritual process and makes us more godlike. And there is beauty and love and creativity, intelligence in the world. It all comes from the neocortex. And we're going to be able to expand the neocortex as I described. So we're going to become more godlike.
More godlike. He is admitting that man's self-inflicted evolutionary process is going to turn man into a god with godlike thinking abilities and godlike powers and godlike ability to love. And here's a man that does not believe in God. He said, they asked him, you know, the question is, do I believe in God? And he said, not yet. There is going to be, and he wants himself to be that God. Evolution, folks, it's coming. The change is coming. Paul said it because when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful. That's Ray Kurzweil. He says he doesn't believe in God. I think he does. I think down deep in his heart, he knows. Because the image that he is trying to make himself into is the image of God. Of course he believes in God. When they knew God, they glorified him not as God. Neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man. And see that word here? Changed. They, who profess themselves to be wise, changed. Man is going to change man. He's going to change corruptible man into the image of God. Exactly what Ray Kurzweil just told us. Who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Do you see it, people? That's what evolution is all. This is why they're ridiculing you for believing in God's version of creation. Now, I'll tell you how far we've gotten so far in this country. In 1982, I was a sophomore in high school. I was taking a biology class from a teacher at our high school who ran a strip club. Not making that up. And this teacher, of course, he was a God hater. He was an evolutionist. And we're taking a biology class, and it comes up about, you know, natural selection and so on. And I was in his class. There were some other kids who went to church in his class, and we were asking, you know, okay, what, you know, how does this, you know, I can't remember. We were asking things about evolution, and we don't believe it. I think he may have asked. And finally, he allowed us to have a debate in this biology class of evolution versus creation. And the class was about half divided, which I thought was pretty cool. And the half that believed in creation, they all asked me to be the spokesman. Okay, I'll do my best. And we argued our points in that classroom. That was allowed back then. 1982. No way, no how is that going to happen. They have to promote evolution and ridicule creation. Here's Bill Nye, the science guy. He's got a video clip. You can look it up. I featured it on Pastor Mike Online probably a few years ago. Bill Nye, the science guy, he does this kids show, making science cool. But he gets his serious face on, and he's talking, and he's saying, look, if you adults who believe in God, you want to believe in creation, you go ahead. Let us have your children. We're going to need, in the future, we're going to need children whose heads are twisted on right and who think correctly. We need your children to be scientists and engineers and botanists and biology people who can see the things in the world around us and shape it. And he said, we need people who believe in evolution. So if you adults, you Christian right fundamentalists, you want to believe in creation, be my guest. Don't ruin your kids. Give them to us. And I'm just going, That is spooky. That is like Bill Nye needs to have his own Halloween house, okay? And scare everybody with, I'm an evolutionist. Give us your kids. Ah, I don't want you to have my kids. Ah! Think he could become a millionaire just by doing that. Charles Darwin. On the Origin of Species. I don't think he started this evolution thing, but he publicized it. This was at a time in the 1800s when we were exploring the world. Ships at sea, especially those from Great Britain, going all over the world, exploring the world. Charles Darwin ends up on the Galapagos Islands. He is a naturalist. And he's discovering species now that never been seen before. And he's scratching his head wondering how come these species are on this island and they are all different than the other species, like similar species in other places around the world. And he starts developing this concept of evolution, of change. And that maybe the world wasn't 6,000 years old. Maybe it was 6 billion years old, and the only way that this change came about was through long stretches of time and what he referred to as natural selection. Here is the official title of the book, The Origin of Species, By Means of Natural Selection. Here's the other title of the book, Preservation of Favored Races in the Struggle for Life. Did you catch that? All of you who are listening to me who are black or Latino or of any other non-white Caucasian persuasion, Charles Darwin basically seeded the whole eugenics movement with this one book. Because if in nature only the best races survive, then it stands to reason that in humanity only the superior breed, the superior race of man will survive. The others will be stamped out because they will not survive. That concept now, revolutionary in the 1800s, that concept now has come to near fruition in that we know for a fact that when man finally does evolve and when they change the glory of the uncorruptible God into the image of corruptible man, when they change man and make him a higher species, then it stands to reason, and it would be perfectly natural for the higher races to destroy the lower races. You see what I'm saying? Those of, and listen, this aura, this ideology is already embedded in the liberal elite of the United States of America. Hillary Clinton is one of them. She is the most arrogant, proud, haughty person I think I've ever heard of in my life, in my lifetime, claiming that eugenicist Margaret Sanger is her role model, her hero. Why? Because Margaret Sanger championed the cause of racial extermination by putting Planned Parenthood abortion centers within walking distance of ghettos, black neighborhoods, Hispanic neighborhoods, mongrel races, she referred to them as, lower species. It's best if they kill themselves off. You know what I think? I think the drug problem in the Hispanic communities, in the black communities, I think that's being fostered secretly by Caucasian elitists who are making sure there is a steady supply of drugs, methamphetamine, cocaine, heroin, marijuana, so that these people end up essentially destroying themselves. That's what I think. I think to those of you who are of a black origin, Hispanic origin, or any of these what they call so-called mongrel races, I think that God has a tremendous plan and a blessing for you, because if the world hates you, I think that's a sure sign that God doesn't. And we're finding out, ministering in Kenya, that the people who traditionally have been hated by people who think they're superior and better than everybody else, they're the ones who are the most hungry for the gospel right now. And all that, I wish we could see that kind of revival in America amongst those of the black race and other races in America. I wish we could see that revival take place, because listen, the people, the politicians who say that they are your friends, they are not. If they're black, they're simply gaining power and wealth off of your back by using you. Poverty pimps, they're called. And if they're white Caucasians, they're simply making you think that they are for you and on your side, and they want to, and but secretly they ensure that there is enough crime, enough murders, enough killing, and enough drugs, and enough unwanted pregnancies going on in your communities that eventually you'll just wipe yourselves out. And all the white elite won't have to get their hands dirty doing it. That all started with Charles Darwin. Now, Helena Blavatsky, also around the same time as Charles Darwin, writes a book called The Secret Doctrine. And she also believed in evolution, but she hated Charles Darwin's view of it. Darwin's view of it was, which is the one accepted by a majority of the scientific community, Darwin's version of it is that it took place over millions of years, and it was all done naturally. That any inferior race, let's say, of horses, the inferior races of horses were not going to last as long as the superior ones, so therefore the superior ones prolonged themselves by breeding, while the inferior races all died out. So Darwin believed that it was all done naturally. Blavatsky didn't. She believed that there was a hand, an outside force, a deliberate move to change and alter mankind and to elevate him in the stages that he's belonged in. Here's what she said. In the creation of new species, it is the quote-unquote designers who direct the new evolution. Thus, when we say that nature provides for every animal and plant, whether large or small, we speak correctly. Her view of it was that, again, they both, her and Darwin, both believed in evolution. But Blavatsky, coming out with the idea, the bold opinion, that rather than it happening accidentally by way of mutations in genes, which, by the way, science knows that every time there is a mutation in a gene, almost without fail, it produces an offspring who is damaged, mutilated, not as intelligent. In other words, mutations in genes never better the species. They only make it worse, not better. And so that's what Darwin believed. Darwin believed that it was just a natural thing that happened. There would be these mutations in the genes, and it would just happen. And, or that sometimes when the, let's say the elephant with the short nose decided that it couldn't pick stuff up with its two front paws, that over 4 or 5 million years, the elephant grew a long snout with this little grippers on the end of it. But Blavatsky believed that it wasn't just natural. It wasn't just happenstance. It wasn't just random mutations. It was being done on purpose by outside forces that were all about transforming everything on this earth into a new breed. Blavatsky's doctrine is now the one that pervades in biology, genetics, technology, eugenics, all of the sciences now that are bringing mankind to this new order, to this new phase of evolution. It's Blavatsky who prophesied it. She got it right. It's not being done by the hands of man alone or accidentally. There are gods, little g, spirits, designers, that she said, that are in the process of bringing every bit of this about. We may pick up some more on this. If you got any relevant ideas or information, send it to me, PastorMikeOnline@gmail.com. Again, let me just say that I know you send a lot of emails to PastorMikeOnline@gmail.com. I cannot read all of those emails. There's just too many that comes in, especially over the course of the weekend. I can't go back and read and answer all those. So if I have not answered your email, I apologize. If it's very important, send it to me again. Try to get my attention with it. Help me out. And I would appreciate your patience. All right? Hey, I love you. God bless you. Be ready now. There is a change coming. Okay? There is a change coming. For us, it's eternal life with our Lord Jesus. For them, eternal destruction. Good to be with you today. God bless you.